W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Federal criminal charges against two Americans living in the U.S. and 40 officers of China's National Police Force accused of spying in America. In New York, federal prosecutor Breon Peace.
The defendant's actions under the direction of the Chinese government are flagrant violations of American sovereignty.
U.S. officials working to find out more about the young National Guardsman accused of leaking military documents on social media. Pentagon spokesperson Sabrina Singh saying much of this is now in the Justice Department's hands.
Right now, they are the lead investigators for this case, this criminal case. It's not to say that something couldn't come back to the Department of Defense at some point.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy still insisting on tying cuts in federal spending with raising the government's debt ceiling. The president is against it. The defamation trial between Dominion Voting Systems and Fox News expected to begin tomorrow. Delaware judge today delayed the start by one day. This is ABC News. Two Southern California police officers being charged in a shooting death from many years ago.
It was 2018 when 23-year-old Christopher Mitchell was shot and killed by two Torrance, California police officers. He had an air rifle and was in a car that was reported stolen. Police said they ordered him to put his hands on the steering wheel, and when he moved, they shot him. Charges against the officers were declined by the previous L.A. County District Attorney. Current D.A. George Gascon went back and revived the case, and now a grand jury has indicted. Both officers are pleading not guilty. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
It's one of the richest paydays in NFL history, over half of it guaranteed. Quarterback Jalen Hurts set to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles, $255 million.
1 year ago, there were questions about who would be the Eagles quarterback. Now we know just who the Eagles quarterback will be, the new highest paid player in NFL history.
ESPN's Adam Schefter. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Newly elected Republican Representative Derek Van Orden says a compromise on Wisconsin's abortion ban is needed to fend off, quote, radical, unquote, Democrats. WSAU reporting Van Orden calling for carve-outs in state law for rape and incest and discussions on allowing abortions up to 15 weeks. Reproductive rights were a major issue in this month's Wisconsin Supreme Court election, with liberals flipping the court for the first time in 15 years. Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz handily defeating Dan Kelly by 11 points. More than 3,000 people attended services at the Cameron School Auditorium over the weekend, honoring officers Emily Breidenbach and Hunter Scheel. Dozens of law enforcement agencies represented, showing support for those grieving the death of these officers who were killed in the line of duty in rural Wisconsin earlier this month. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999 and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
Beat the summer rush and visit naturalone.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Zoe, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by the MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. And I'm here live at the Macho Hodu Studios here in St. Paul, which means a place where you take blue clay from. And that's what us Ho-Chunks call St. Paul, Minneapolis. Got a rocking show here, Zoe. We got the Lieutenant Governor checking in. And then we have a recording from Wendy. We're really excited. We got a couple. And then Dr. Stately. First, before we get too far, why don't we take a listen to our Lieutenant Governor with her update and see what she has to say. Welcome, Lieutenant Governor.
This is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. One of the best parts of my job is getting to meet people across the state and their communities and talk about the issues that matter most to our families and neighbors. And one issue that I hear about every single place I go is childcare. Over the past month, I've had the opportunity to visit with childcare providers, parents, and business leaders in places like Fergus Falls, St. Cloud, and Lake Elmo to hear more about what we can do to support children and families, as well as the economic vitality and future of communities in every part of the state. The governor and I know that both as parents and from years of talking to Minnesotans, that investments in childcare are investments in our workforce, education, health, safety, and the future of our state. It's our mission to make Minnesota the best state in the country to raise a family. But frankly, it's impossible to achieve this goal without investing in childcare. I often say the biggest pay raise I ever received was when my daughter started kindergarten, but it doesn't have to be this way. We can make these investments. We can increase accessibility and lower costs for families. We can support our providers and ensure they make the wages that they deserve. And we know that those first 5 years of life, the first 1,000 days, are critical for child development. We have an opportunity to make a truly transformational investment in our children's lives. Our budget expands access to early learning and makes crucial investments in childcare accessibility and affordability. Under our proposal, if your household makes less than $200,000 per year and you have two kids under five, you could get up to $8,000 back for your childcare expenses. Our proposal also includes investments in a mixed delivery system that creates and sustains childcare slots where they're needed most, including Greater Minnesota. And we propose investments in our providers to ensure that we can continue to recruit and retain outstanding folks to care for our children. The investments we make this legislative session will resonate for generations. We can get this done. And I'm so grateful for the people that we've met who've shared their stories. And I have to say that, you know, as Indigenous people, we know how crucial caring for our children can be. And so these investments help us to do that in a more intentional and more loving way, so that the community as a whole can thrive and that we can raise our children in our village together. It's hard to believe that Governor Walz and I are 100 days into our second term. We've made historic strides in the first 100 days to improve the lives of so many Minnesotans, but we are not done yet. The progress that we've made so far has granted freedom and rights to Minnesotans who've been forgotten for far too long. From restoring voting rights to increasing access to driver's licenses for undocumented Minnesotans, to protecting reproductive freedom and gender-affirming care, and providing free breakfast and lunch to every kid in school, this has been a historic 100 days. And I'm especially proud of the work to strengthen the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. On March 16th, Governor Walz signed a bill into law strengthening child welfare protections for Native American children and families. This bill affirms the authority of all federally recognized Indian tribes to handle the cases of Indian child custody and child placement proceedings, and requires social workers to make active efforts to preserve family unity. Through the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, our children's rights and access to their own culture, language, and identity and family will have another layer of protection beyond the federal Indian Child Welfare Act here in Minnesota. Through our work, we want Minnesotans to know that we care about them, we care about their children, and I have to lift up the incredible work of the Native Caucus on the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, Representative Keeler and Senator Kunesh, along with Representative Kozlowski and Representative Becker Finn, had incredible conversations and hearings talking about the need of family unification and making sure that our children stay in their communities. It's powerful work, and I'm so glad that regardless of what the Supreme Court does with ICWA, our children here in Minnesota will be protected. Through our work, the governor and I want Minnesotans to know that the Capitol is the people's house and every people's house, and we fight to improve the life of every Minnesotan. There's so much to do, and I'm excited to get back to work in the final 6 weeks of the legislative session. Make sure that your senators, representatives, and our office hear from you about the things that you care about and the investments you want us to make here in the last 6 weeks. Chimigwech, Pina Gigi, and back to you.
Wow. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Totally awestruck on her reports that she gives us every couple weeks. And she takes it serious. And it was a good report, right, Zoe?
Yeah, no, she does really important work. And I think just acknowledging teachers and all the work they do, too, is so important. And it's also, yeah, they've got a lot done, I feel like, in this legislative session. It's kind of hard to believe it's almost over. How does that work for the Ho-Chunk Nation, Robert? Do you guys go year-round?
Yeah. Yes, we do. Wow. And it's every time we have a meeting before our session, which we have weekly, I'm amazed by the things that come up that need to be taken care of and taken care of immediately. And it's a little different in some ways, but it's faster and slower. I don't know how I can explain it, but it seems like now that the here in Minnesota we have the trifecta with the Democrats in both the Senate House and the governor, things have been moving really, really fast. So again, great work by everyone, and I'm glad you gave a shout out to Becker Finn, Kowalski, and our favorite state senator, Mary Kunesh, along with Heather Keeler, who's probably going to be coming back on the show more often when she is now going to have some more time in 6 weeks. So this is going quick. And what's exciting too, Zoe, you know, when I was young, or I shouldn't even say that long ago, you know, these sessions never had to be extended. And it seems like the last 5-10 years are always going, we have to get more done in the final minute. We have to extend the session because they're not done with their work. And to me, it seems like they're getting done with their work.
Right. No, it's pretty incredible the amount of time and energy our state representatives and, you know, just government officials put into this type of work, the ones that are really doing it, you know, and it shows for sure. We're really lucky also to have so many Indigenous politicians in our corner, because I feel like that is a very unique thing to have in a state, you know.
Right. And I'll be working on your campaign when you take after your auntie, who is state representative in Minnesota. So, Zoe, I'm excited. And I'll have probably be retired from everything, and I'll have a lot of time to help you with your campaign.
Glad you got it worked out for me already, Robert. That's comforting to know.
Right on. Always thinking of you. Hey, up next, Zoe, we're going to have a report from Wendy. And she's doing some important work and give us some updates what's going on, too, with howling for, or not for howling for wolves, but our wolves, our elder, our relatives here in Minnesota. There's possibility of a bill coming up really quick in a vote on the floor. So she'll give us an update, and then we'll have Dr. Stately, you know, talking about whatever comes to our minds or whatever report he has from NPR. That's what I should say. Hey, but we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
A lot has changed since 2020. Metro Transit wants to hear from you to help build a network that best serves the Metro's needs for the next 5 years. Help us grow the right way as more resources, like more drivers, become available. Learn more, fill out an online survey, and find out about upcoming meetings in your neighborhood at metrotransit.org/network-now. metrotransit.org/network-now.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. Learn more about how Democrats are standing up for working families and small businesses at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
And of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're going to get to update with Wendy, what's going on, and I just want to give a quick shout-out to Shantina, who's one of our listeners, who said, no offense, Robert, but things are getting done because more women are in office. That's no kidding. She put a little smiley face with a tongue sticking out, but I think there's a lot of truth, if not total truth, on that, Zoe.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with her statement for sure.
So, hey, why don't we get with Wendy's report? She's heading there right now and giving us a quick report, and she's going to tell us what she's doing and what's happening. Go ahead, Wendy.
My name is Hannah Jihihani.
That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that, and I'm happy to be here tonight. So we have a couple of things going on. I just got a message from Dr. Maureen Hackett saying that the wolf bill, which we're working on to stop the wolf hunt in Minnesota, is in an omnibus bill right now. So an omnibus bill means that it's in there with other bills and it's all a big mishmash. So that's going to be heard tonight and also voted on. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Please, anybody out there who cares about the wolves, just give a quick call to your local senator and just tell them to please vote, and your House representative. That's the most important one right now because it's going to be seen and heard in the House tonight. So if you could just call your House representative and just give them a quick call and just say, please, this is important to me, that would be great. Okay, so also, you know, I've been working on this humane pet store ordinance, and I've talked about this before on the show. And what this is an ordinance to stop the sale of dogs and cats that come from or originate from these horrible puppy mills. And I've talked about this on the show before. So tonight I'm going to be in Blaine, Minnesota, and I'm going to be there. Hopefully I'll be able to testify. I'm not really sure if I will. It really depends on how many people are there. And it's kind of a they serve you first. So I'm going to try to get there a little earlier because I really feel like when I talk about our dog, Gracie, who was a puppy mill breeder dog, her story is really compelling. So if I don't get to testify tonight at the Blaine City Council, I'll be there at 7 o'clock. I'm going to kind of just tell you guys what I'm going to tell the Blaine City Council so that it's out there. It's out there in the waves and people could listen to it. So here's what I'm going to tell them. I'm going to say, hello, Blaine City Council members. Thank you very much for allowing me to talk in front of you tonight. I want you to know that I worked with my very own city council member in St. Paul. His name is Chris Tolbert. I worked with him along with many other people, many other advocates in St. Paul. I also worked with City Council member Sheila Lamb from Cloquet, Minnesota. And we talked and we testified and the Humane Pet Store Ordinance was passed unanimously, both in St. Paul and Cloquet, which is awesome. We have 5 cities in Minnesota so far that has adopted the Humane Pet Store Ordinance. They are St. Paul, Cloquet, I just mentioned those, Roseville, Carver, and Eden Prairie. So go those areas. That's awesome. But I really wanted to talk about our dog, Gracie. Now, Gracie, I've talked about her before. She's a little white 5-pound Maltese dog, and she was in a puppy mill. So a puppy mill is a breeding facility where dogs stay, and they breed their puppies, and then their puppies are sold to pet stores. And she was kept in an indoor facility, and I can't remember, it was either Iowa or Idaho. It was either one of those states. I can't find her paperwork, but she was there for 7 years. And she stayed in a cage for 7 years, and once per week, somebody would come around and fill her automatic food and water dispensers, and I was told that they just kept the heat up enough so the dogs wouldn't freeze, and they kept the lights dim. And they did this to save money, right? Because it's all about profits and not compassion. She was bred twice a year. So she had approximately 14 litters, so she was there. And you have to remember, these little white Maltese puppies are very desirable. They're small dogs. They are hypoallergenic. They don't shed. So people really like these puppies. So her puppies were sold to the pet stores throughout the United States. So for 7 years, Gracie did not leave that indoor facility. Gracie never walked on grass. For 7 years, she never played with a toy. She had no toys. For 7 years, she never was held or spoken to kindly. For 7 years, she was a breeding machine. Also, for 7 years, she didn't have a name. She had a number that was around her neck. I wish I knew her number also. I don't have that information. I'm wondering if I can get that. I'm going to look into that. So at the end of her 7 years, when her body was worn out and she couldn't have any more puppies, she was auctioned off for $35. So a rescue took her in, and a man named Gary fostered her and then quickly fell in love and adopted her. Shortly after he adopted Gracie, Gary died unexpectedly, which was really sad. And Robert and I were able to adopt Gracie along with his two other dogs, Wanda and Emma. So we had the three of them. And when we got Gracie, she was really a shell of a dog. She really did not know anything. She didn't know how to walk on the grass. She didn't even know how to drink water from a bowl, because she was given the water in a dispenser like you would give a hamster, like in one of those hanging ones. So she had to learn how to even drink water from a bowl. She had three teeth in her mouth that were rotting, and we had to get those removed. We used to laugh, my husband and I, because, Gracie would find something or stumble upon something that really scared her. And we would say, uh-oh, Gracie's frozen. What is she afraid of? One time she was so afraid to walk on leaves. We were out for a walk in the fall, and Wanda and Emma, our other dogs, just like walked right through the leaves, and Gracie just stopped in her tracks because she never saw leaves before. She didn't know what they were. So we had to coax her to walk over the leaves. She didn't walk over them. She jumped. And it was really sad and funny at the same time. I had dogs my whole life. And Gracie one day was out on the deck on a sunny day, and she was gazing up at the sky. And I said to Robert, "What is she looking at? Is there a bird up there or something in the tree?" And he said, "No, I think she's gazing at the sky." She was gazing at the sky because for 7 years she was in an indoor facility and never saw the sky. So, how sad is that? So, the pet stores that sell these puppies from these horrible facilities are the pipeline to these puppy mills, and we need to break that pipeline. And that's why I am going tonight to talk to the Blaine City Council and try to persuade them and convince them that adopting the Humane Pet Store Ordinance in Blaine is a good idea for these puppies. I can talk for a very long time about this subject, but I do want to say that throughout the United States, at least 99% of the dogs and cats sold in these pet stores are from puppy mills. That's where they originate from. The puppies are the lucky ones. They get out. But the breeder dogs, the female and even the male dogs, live horrible lives. So we want to end this horrible practice. And we're going to go city by city. And if you live in Blaine, I would ask you to call your city council member and tell them that you care about this. All right, Robert, back to you. Wish me luck tonight.
Hey, break a leg there, Wendy. You're going to do great. We just got to update Zoe from Dr. Maureen Hackett from Howling for Wolves. They have won the vote in the House on keeping wolves safe in Minnesota. The vote was 69 to 57. Yeah, there's the applause. One Republican named Andrew Myers from Minnetonka voted with us. Thank you all. Thank you all who called your representatives, emailed, and did all those things. I got to bring up the applause one more time. Yes, yes. Right on. Hey, we'll be, you know, we're up to the minute here, Zoe. Up next, Dr. Stately. Again, congratulations to our wolves. The House passed it on the omnibus bill, 69 to 57. We'll be right back after this short break with Dr. Stately.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. Learn more about how Democrats are standing up for working families and small businesses at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by Minnesota AFL-CIO.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolette Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their winter hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
With a look at your AM950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Clear tonight with a low of 29, then sunshine on Tuesday with a high of 52. Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue offers a huge taste of selections like baby back ribs and pulled pork sandwiches out of a little place. Scott Jamama's is located just a block west of I-35W off of West Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis. Visit their website at scottjamamas.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute.
Hey, right on, Zoe. Hey, let me just bring again the breaking news, an update from Dr. Maureen Hackett from Howling for Wolves. We won the vote in the House on keeping wolves safe, and the vote was 69 for and 57 against. One Republican named Andrew Myers from Minnetonka voted with us, and just a little more of an update. There was several Republicans were not there, and some did not vote. Only one Dem was absent, so all the Dems voted pro wolf except one, and that person was absent. So that's pretty awesome news, Zoe.
Yeah, wow, lots of work went into that too, so it's really cool to see it come to fruition. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal, especially for our wolf relatives. And I also just know a lot of people up in White Earth too that have been, you know, hoping that this also happens, because, you know, we have relatives all over the state that, you know, look after our wolves and try to protect them, because they don't have a voice in any of this, you know, of course. So,
yeah.
What about, the work you guys did last week, how does this feel, having just been at the Capitol talking about this issue?
Well, it's a double-edged sword. One, that we have to do this, and the other side is, you know, educating people is part of our jam here at Native Roots Radio, and what we do as Native people, we're always, you know, educating people. One of the things, and it's interesting too, we don't have Dr. Stately right now, but one of the things that was interesting, Zoe, was that how it changed in the conversation. The Republicans that were in this work group or testimony thing were offered to ask a question. And basically, they didn't ask questions. They got on a little stump speech each time. And I thought that was, when I was watching that, I thought that was really ironic. There was, you know, I'm thinking to myself, is there a question in this? Or are you just saying, wolves bad, you know, you know, the wolves bad, that's kill them. Or that's all those words they used, I got my notes here, but it's hilarious. They used the words they used were managing, wolf season, harvest. And, you know, I was just going, okay, that means slaughter. That means take out. One of the senators did say we take them out. And I don't know if he really knew that he said.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, thank you. And one of the things that really shocked me, but I'm getting a lot of kudos, and maybe if Dr. Stately doesn't show up, I can cue that up, my whole testimony on the last segment. And it was interesting how one of the senators was going on and on. Again, it wasn't a question, and this was after my testimony, and threw in there, if I believe in protecting the wolves, I must be anti-abortion too. And I didn't, yeah, he said that. And my response was brilliant, even though I do say so myself. he said, when I think of this, he said, and we'll play it if Dr. Stately doesn't show up. But my response was when I think of guns, I think of mass shootings in schools. And then the whole place erupted in applause, because it was just like, what is he talking about?
Let's just all be random now if that's the precedent. If he's just talking about anything, that's so weird. Did no connection, he just,
well, that was the connection. And I talked to Maureen Hackett afterwards, and she said that's the Republican game plan now, is to bring abortion and all these things in when you're, when, you know, we're talking about protecting the wolves, we must be talking about protecting babies too, or unborn. And it was like, whoa. And then I scolded him too. I told him it was irresponsible that he was muddying the waters, and I told him he was irresponsible. And everyone clapped right. again, and then the people were, you would have been proud of me, Zoe. Maybe we will play that in the last segment, and I can cue that up. But it was a trip because one of the senators were saying, well, I talked to my grandmother and they were building a house, and then the wolves, you know, this is the 1870s, you know, and I'm thinking he's building a house up in Indian country, so these settlers are stealing land up there. That's all I could think of.
Right.
And he said the wolves were coming, so we had to come out there, and they were, you know, our doors, we didn't have doors. And I'm thinking, why in the hell didn't you have doors? I mean,
sounds you know like what a I mean? You problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm thinking, well, if the wolves were up there going crazy, I mean, we shut our chapoticas and wigwams and teepees. We shut the doors there. Why couldn't his great grandma shut the door and keep the wolves out? I don't know. All these things, like, you know, Red Riding Hood came to my mind during this. I was just like going, what is going on here? Is this, again, the Republicans are in an upside down world.
Why have wolves been so, you know, demonized? That's a really weird, like, I guess I've never really thought of it, but I do think a lot about how, like, in horror movies, like, you know, the woods are like the scary place, and the wolves are usually a villain in some respect. But I mean, this is maybe a stretch for some, but I always think about how, you know, just Western society really tries to push us to disconnect from nature. And that's a part of it for sure. Our wolf relatives have definitely been victims of that kind of, I don't know, propaganda, I guess. But I also think about the language we're just talking about when they were like, we're going to harvest the wolves, right. You know, whatever. Wolf and it really just reminds me of like history and like, you know, the way that, settlers talked to indigenous people about trying to get land from them, and the words that they probably used then, and the words that they use continually to justify, you know, the taking of indigenous land and the killing of indigenous people. And so, not to say that wolves are us, but we're very closely connected. And so it's really interesting to hear the rhetoric that they're using around this issue that they obviously didn't really do a ton of research to really back up, because you guys really brought the experts in the field and it showed, obviously, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was interesting because I feel like I brought kind of the human element in, because there were a lot of experts coming in, and I was talking about, you know, in Ho-Chunk creation story, we speak of four wolves, Zoe, and, you know, the blue wolf is the controller of the day, you know, the black wolf is the controller of the night, and the white wolf is the commander of all things that are holy, and the gray wolf, which is now lives on the earth's surface as guardians of mankind. And, you know, they're also protectors of our ecosystem, and these are things that are proven time and time again. You know, and I don't know, we talked a lot over the years on Native Roots Radio about what they did in Yellowstone to reestablish the wolf population. And that's proof in the pudding right there, Zoe.
Yeah, could you explain a little bit? I remember we talked about it some, but I guess I'm not fully on what they all did over there.
There was no wolves for a long time, and they reestablished putting wolves in there. And within a year, the ecosystem changed. And one of the reasons why is the wolves are hunters. And I think the I want to say caribou, but what are the other big, not the deer, but
moose, elk.
The moose were there, and the wolves took them out, you know, took a lot of them out. And so there was not overeating. Trees came up, you know, trees came up out of nowhere around the shorelines of creeks. There's all these things that happened because the balance of nature and it came about. You know, that's the amazing thing for me about it was that how trees came back because the moose and those other animals weren't eating it away. And then what does that do to the shoreline? It protects the shoreline because the roots and the trees protect from erosion and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And those are the couple that I can think of just off the top of my head.
Right. It's almost like everything is connected. No, it's just like I wish people could understand that. We understand that. Indigenous people have known that forever. And I think that's one of the things that's also frustrating about these types of issues is that our credibility as Indigenous people is always coming into question when we're trying to speak on an issue such as this. If we're not an expert in the field, our opinions aren't valid or credible, but really our opinions should be just as credible and valid because, you know, our oral traditions and that we have passed down onto us are actually now a lot of them are being proven by science. And I think that that's a really interesting turn in history right now is that scientists are like, oh, Indigenous people have been doing this for years and scientifically it actually makes sense. It's like, wow, you know, I'm being sarcastic. Like
Well, Zoe, one of the things that I like to bring up, Zoe, is the fact that, you know, a lot of our listeners are white allies and they were colonized and they were once people of the land and the sky, too. And it's just that natives here in the Garden of Eden or whatever you want to call the United States have been the protectors of the land and are the last to be colonized, so to speak, and we still are in our teachings. I mean, we were taught we're made of earth and sky, you know, literally. And our DNA is so unique, we have proof of that.
Well, and that's why we're here. You know, we're stewards of the land. And so I feel like as any of our relatives on this earth can align under that too of being steward of their own places and spaces. We really need more and more people to care about our environment, not as a secondhand issue, but as a human issue, because it fully affects us, of course. So, awesome. Yeah, this is really good news, Robert. It's really exciting to hear that this is happening right now.
Well, Dr. Stately's not here, so I'm going to try and cue up my little segment there, and we can comment on that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
A lot has changed since 2020. Metro Transit wants to hear from you to help build a network that best serves the Metro's needs for the next 5 years. Help us grow the right way as more resources, like more drivers, become available. Learn more, fill out an online survey, and find out about upcoming meetings in your neighborhood at metrotransit.org/network-now. metrotransit.org/network-now.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. Learn more about how Democrats are standing up for working families and small businesses at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Good one. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we're talking about the protection, keeping wolves on the, in safe in Minnesota, one on the house just a few minutes ago. And we have an opportunity to play my little testimony here, and I think I have it queued up, Zoe. But if not, you're going to have to tap dance a little bit here, but let's give it a shot here.
All righty.
Thank you, Mr. Lestico. Next on the agenda is Mr. You have a question. Senator Wisenberg.
Let's move just a little bit ahead of that, because the senator had some serious, like I said, questioning, and I'm just trying to get right there. Let me see where we're at.
Okay, one more question before you go.
Okay, it's hard for me. I don't have a mouse, and I'm trying to maneuver things here, but I'm checking this out here, and it looks like I'm getting there. Give me a second, Zoe. I don't want...
Alrighty.
Here we go.
Okay, got it. Alrighty.
Robert Pilot. Welcome. And when you get to the testify table, introduce yourself for the record.
My colonized name is Robert Pilot. Pinigigi, thank you for inviting me to let me speak my truth. To all my friends and relatives in four directions. My name is Distant Thunder, and I'm a citizen of Ho-Chunk Nation, and I'm in the Eagle Clan. And as I said earlier, my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and I'm a lifelong Minnesota resident, and I'm not a biologist. As you may or may not know, when we hunt, we treat our relatives with respect. We pray over them and put dandy down, tobacco, and pray for them and thank them for their gift. We don't hunt wolves. We take things from toe to tail. We don't stuff them. We don't put them on display. Where they're sacred, and they're our relatives. They're not just animals. We're animals too. So should we be managed? That's what I'm kind of hearing today by some of you. Many tribes, including Ho-Chunk family, go by clan names and systems. And for my family clan, I'm the Eagle, and in the Eagle Clan. And for example, our Lieutenant Governor is from the Wolf Clan. For thousands and thousands of years, Native Americans have watched and learned from wolves and how they lived and how they took care of their young, how they treat each other, how they work together. Ho-Chunk creation story speaks of four wolf brothers, a blue wolf controlled by the day, a black wolf controlled by the night, a white wolf, commander of all things that are holy, and the gray wolf, which now lives on the earth surface as guardians to mankind. Ho-Chunks are protectors of Mother Earth and Father Sky. The wolves are protectors of our ecosystem and our way of life. Just as a side note, I'm a former high school teacher, and I'm really proud of the latest generation of Gen Zs. They're pretty much the big voting block going to be coming up here, and they're watching this. They're watching how we treat our relatives, how we use words like wolf season and harvest, when really we mean killing and slaughtering and managing and taking out our relatives. So, Pinigigi, for listening to me, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pilot. Senator Wisenberg.
No, I'm not a biologist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Robert. I was not going to ask you if you're a biologist. and I do respect the wolves. And I guess I want to work with you to let you know what I've seen when I've worked. I've been working with wolves for 20 years, and I've seen when we had a managed season, we had 3 packs of wolves in Camp Ripley, and our wolf population stayed where it was. The year after the season was gone, I know people that are like, as long as there's a season, I'm not going to shoot wolves. We'll let the season take care of what's going on because, you know, they're killing their livestock and those kinds of things. The year after the season was done, the South Pack diminished in numbers greatly because they're the ones that mostly come south of that range and people were shooting them. I don't want that to happen. But if we don't find a middle ground and stop that, that is what is happening right now. And even, I know you don't want me to say season, that's just what it is. There's a season on them. That's going to continue to happen. We can't stop it. I want to not have people shooting them illegally. I want to try to sustain the population and not harm them. I do care about wolves. I spent, besides being a paid biologist to work out there, I've spent 13,000 hours volunteering to save wildlife because I care about it. I grew up poor, sleeping on the floor with no money. I hunted and fished and harvested animals to sustain. That's what we did. So I understand what I'm not saying, you know what I'm trying to say. So I respect that.
Here goes.
But I also, I guess I'm just looking at it from this point where I want to save the wolves, but there's things that people aren't seeing. In northern Minnesota, people are shooting wolves and burying them, and that's what's happening, and it's never going to stop if we don't try to satiate what's happening up there. If a rancher has a wolf that is taking their cattle, maybe the number of depredations that are going down are because the ranchers are now just taking care of it themselves. And DNR has to go like this because they don't have another option. They don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We all have the same thing. We want to save wolves. I you know, you said, thank you, Chair, for letting me talk. You know, this is good. I'm not trying to be controversial, but when you said, should we be managed? I don't think we should be. But when you say that, abortion pops into my head. I would hope then you're also against abortion if we're against this. So that's.
Do you know what pops into my head when guns come out? School shootings. I'm a high school teacher, so I don't know how you can put those two things together.
Just to let you know, clapping the audience as a committee rule.
thank you, Mr. Chair.
If you two can wait before I call on you to speak, so that we manage things here, so we can avoid conflict and be civil on our discussion. So
sir, I'm gonna tell them off one last time.
You want to respond?
I don't think that really responding about abortion and wolf hunting. I don't want to go down that road. I think they're two different things, and to muddy the discussion we have today is a little irresponsible on your part, Senator.
Okay, well, thank you. And
yes, it was, Zoe, don't you think? You got to hear it now.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking, I was like, actually, his argument worked totally against him because anti-abortionists are about managing women's bodies. So that was really like, not sure where he was going with that one, trying to say that the opposite of that, but it struck me the other way, so that was kind of funny. I was like, he kind of contradicted himself. That was a reach for sure.
Well, and then he kept on asking all the people that were, you know, speaking on behalf of the wolves if they were biologists, and that's why I kept on saying I wasn't a biologist when I came in there, and because he isn't a biologist supposedly. But did you like my response?
Yeah, I thought it was very warranted. And obviously the people in the audience agreed too.
All right, Zoe. Hey, we did another show together. We missed Dr. Stately, but things happen, and he's a very busy man. But we were able to celebrate the fact that the House is going to be protecting our wolves. And now it's up to the Senate and the governor. And hopefully that can be brought up very soon. And I want to thank Wendy for the update, and also a big peenie-geegee for Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan to stop in, and Zoe.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
ABC News.